Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. Why it matters on Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3. Good morning. It's the Breakfast Huddle with Elliot Danka and Ryan Huang. I want to talk a little bit about a site that's not often discussed, you know, during COVID-19. Yes, we know that it makes you physically sick, but what about emotionally? That's the side I want to talk about. I mean, mental, interpersonal well-being can be quite harmful. And I don't know about you, but I've noticed that in some of my friends. And it can happen to anyone. In other words, you know, even if you are a person who's fortunate enough to remain healthy, you know, both physically healthy and financially stable during the period, you might still be vulnerable to stress, anxiety, or interpersonal tension, conflict, things like that. You know, working from home isn't really the best. Employees are also seeing the importance of insurance coverage for mental health at work. According to a survey by Mercer, 1 in 2 employees in Asia say they highly value insurance coverage for mental health. But guess what? Only 1% of insurers in Singapore regard mental health provision as a key priority. So what can be done to close this huge gap? Can insurers provide a little bit more in this aspect? Why are they so hesitant? Let's see if we can get some answers. On the line with me is Neil Narell, who is Singapore business leader for Mercer Marsh Benefits. Good morning, Neil. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I am good, sir. Mentally feeling okay today because I'm about to go on a break. But imagine those 2 years. A lot of people cooped up at home. You think work from home is a great idea. Actually, after a while, not so. Tell us a little bit more about this report, this Mercer Marsh Benefits Health Trends Report.
Sure, thank you. So the key findings from our report really hovered around the health trend rate. Pre-pandemic trend rates hovered around 10% per year and actually dropped to an all-time low of 5.8%. And why trend rates came down so much was simply because of low outpatient utilization levels, deferral, cancellation of treatment, measures like circuit breaker, people wearing masks, really helping bring down cough and flu levels. But what we've seen over the last year is simply a rebound, a significant increase in trend rates up to 8.1% in 2021, and we expect about 10% this year, more than 5 times the general inflation rate. And why that is simply because we're living longer in Singapore, aging population. Medical advancements are helping get access to better types of care, really pushing up the life expectancy. Third, we're just much more aware. We're much more engaged as a society when it comes to healthcare needs. Much more aware of when to go get help, which is pushing up consumption levels, pushing a strain on the demand for healthcare workers.
I see. Well, I mean, COVID also kind of pushes us to find out more. What's the difference between a flu and COVID, for example? All right. But we don't know a lot about mental health. Is that one of the reasons why this has really come up to the forefront?
Yeah, so what we've seen over the last couple of years is that we all have struggled with working from home, workload issues, especially as employees working for employers. In fact, organizations have struggled with that as well. Organizations recognize mental health is a top priority that they need to find a solution for, but they continue to really grapple with it. When you ask employees, 1 in 2 employees in Asia say they would value if their employer provided better health care coverage, yet only 1% of insurers in Asia even regard it as a key priority. But what we are seeing is that mental health coverage is on the rise. 1 in 3 insurers are making plans to offer some type of coverage in some sort of way. But what we believe is that companies should still try to relook at their well-being strategy.
Okay.
If not within their insurance coverage, perhaps include it within their well-being program, be it flexible working, block leave programs, time management strategies, having access to coaches and therapists. There's a lot an employer can do beyond their insurance programs.
Right. Okay. I want to continue diving into this, but just to sidetrack for a short bit, I do understand that COVID is the third largest cause of claims in Asia. What are the other two causes of claims here?
So the other two causes of claims really hover still around, you know, your typical respiratory musculoskeletal. Okay. And those will continue as they continue to have always dominated. But the fact that COVID has risen to the third highest claim was a real eye-opener for us. And what's more telling about that is that 4 in 5 insurers that we surveyed across Asia expect to continue to cover inpatient COVID-19 care in 2022. However, what's interesting is that 11% of insurers have already made changes to exclude future pandemics. So while COVID might be covered right now, future pandemics may not. And it's just something for employers and individuals to be mindful of when they're taking out insurance coverage.
Why do you think that they're not choosing to cover future pandemics? I mean, now that we have more knowledge, you would think that it's a lot easier to anticipate.
Well, I think it's the unknown. It's the unknown of what future pandemics may evolve to. It's like what we experienced 2 years ago with COVID-19 and some of the extreme measures that unfortunately had to take place. But now we're living with COVID in Singapore. And as we can see, insurers are becoming much more comfortable with including COVID-19 care within their coverage. But, you know, one thing I'd say to be very mindful is what we expect the claims experience to be like with post-COVID. Okay. We do expect there might be some uneven types of utilization patterns, access to medical services, affordability, longer wait times, as inflation continues to be a challenge in Asia. And we do expect there will be more innovations like telemedicine and digital health services. For example, we're seeing virtual supervised ART testing today, and that will continue to be more of the type of norm in the future.
Right. The medtech, in that sense, will be on the rise. Okay, going back to the gaps in mental health coverage, I know you talked about how one in two employees here in Asia say they highly value insurance coverage for mental health. Now, before we talk about why insurers are not really providing that, how would coverage for mental health look like?
Yeah, so it's really around support. And, you know, I'd say it's more of a protective measure. So psychiatric help, it could be, you know, access to therapists, and really after a mental health challenge has been diagnosed. However, what we would like to actually think it's better to focus on is actually the preventative side. So more on the well-being side. So how do we make sure that a mental health challenge doesn't become diagnosed in the first place? How do we ensure that better support is being provided by employers? Whether, again, through better flexible working, through just workload management, through just ensuring there's proper access to employee assistance programs. There's a lot that can be doing. But just one thing to bear in mind is there's still the potential stigma attached to mental health support, something that we struggle with in Asia. So we've seen a lot of employers offering it, but very little take-up.
Yeah. Is it a case of maybe people are afraid? Because I knew of a case, this guy overseas, they're very pro-mental health, and he had a reaction. To me, I replied by saying, well, you know, really, you could be stronger mentally. You didn't need to break down that easily. But what I was surprised is that his company gave him like a month off, work from home. This is many, many years before the pandemic. And I started to think that what if people took advantage of that? Because it is possible. Do you think this fear is one of the reasons that companies are afraid?
It absolutely is the fear and the stigma. You hit the nail on the head. It effectively is individuals just feeling fearful of stepping forward and admitting that I need help, mental health support, taking, in your example, a month off. What happens when they return to work? How are they perceived? And so, you know, some of the things that we encourage employers is better training for their people managers, just talking more openly as leaders within the organization, sharing examples. We're seeing more and more executives, in fact, across Fortune 500 companies now stepping forward, admitting to their own mental health challenges. That will all help. And just talking more openly and just perhaps reducing that stigma.
Yeah. So maybe the problem is we have been too protective. If an employee comes forward and says, oh, I'm not feeling well, frustrated, mentally not well, okay, I will find a cover story for you. You go work from home. If we get rid of that, I also wonder, does it make it difficult, and this is an overlap question, right? Difficult to process if I were making a mental health insurance claim. Difficult to process if I were trying to take time off from the office because of mental health.
Yeah, so taking out an insurance claim is typically quite confidential. However, when you're taking out an insurance claim, it means it's gotten to an extreme level. It's gotten to a point where it's been diagnosed. And we think that's too late. And there's a lot that can be done at the preventative side before it even has to get to that stage where your insurance policy needs to kick in. And the real support is at the preventative side. But that means people need to be open to speaking up, and organizations need to be open to accepting the fact that some of their employees, like they may have physical health challenges where they need time off, mental health is no different.
Yeah.
It's something that we just have to get much more comfortable speaking about.
Yeah, I think bosses are just afraid of accountability as well, because the question pops up, I mean, what was your part in leading to this employee becoming mentally unwell?
That's right.
Yeah. What about the prospect of maybe if all managerial staff had some kind of a mandatory psychology or therapy session, maybe they would understand the importance of mental health a little bit better?
Absolutely. And we're seeing that over the last couple of years with mental health becoming a much more hotter topic, much more discussed at the public forum. Organizations are now taking active steps to getting people managers better training, whether it's through mental health coaches coming in, therapists coming in, and just openly talking about sharing examples about other organizations and how they've had to support their employees. Again, it's these sharing of experiences and really the people managers, those first line managers that are key to really breaking down that stigma.
Yeah, and hopefully we can do a lot more to do that. I completely agree with you with regard to the hindrance spot. Just as a final question to wrap up, we mentioned earlier on only 1% of insurers in Asia regard mental provision as a key priority. I know it's better to have prevention, but what more can be done on the insurer side to make sure that this is more important, to make sure that there's more coverage?
Yeah, so our trend report actually called out a few call-outs in terms of tips. I mean, first is look at the insurer outcomes on health, not just the coverage itself. So understand if coverage is being provided, where are the insurers expecting to actually see the benefit down the road? Look at your policy terms very closely.
Okay.
The second one, I talked about the fact that future pandemics we're seeing from 11% of insurers now being excluded. I mean, really look at the wording closely. We think self-care tools and digital products are great. It can actually help break down that stigma and allow employees to get preventative support, but more on an on-demand basis. We'd also say don't underestimate the risk of undiagnosed type of challenges, and that's where the preventative comes back. And lastly, you know, we'd say just make your coverage much more inclusive.
Yeah.
It can actually bring down costs in the future.
All right. I've been speaking with Neil Narell, who is Singapore business leader for Mercer Marsh Benefits. Neil, really appreciate your time this morning. You take care and stay safe.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.